All right. Welcome to week 9 of the Helped podcast. And here's Matt with announcements.
Oh, I actually have some this time. I'm ready. First, we attended the first ever Anaheim Electronics Manufacturing Show this week. That was a great show. It wasn't exactly our wheelhouse. Wasn't exactly our customer set. But it was great to get out and make a few solid contacts. And thank you to the fine folks that put on that show. Next, David's a local celebrity now. If any of you follow the Critical Mass podcast with Rick Franzi, Rick Franzi interviews local entrepreneurs, CEOs, and David was a guest this week. So go to LinkedIn or Google Critical Mass with Rick Franzi and look for the episode with David.
And it's live, much different than this. It's live.
David did very well. Go listen. You'll enjoy it. All right. Now, Thanksgiving is coming up next week. We're going to be skipping the podcast. We're not closed for business, which really begs the question of how are you going to manage your customers over the holidays? For the next 6 weeks, we have Thanksgiving coming up, lots of people taking time away, going on vacation, Christmas, into New Year's. How do you manage that? How do you handle it when your office is closed, but your customers might still be calling?
Yep. Nothing worse than getting that call during the holidays when you're spending time with the family, but also nothing worse for your customer, consumer of your goods, to have an issue that, you know, they're trying to resolve and not getting someone.
And really, that's exactly why Helped is here. We've talked a lot about how we can be the full service tech support, but we also have our Flex plan, which allows you to turn it on, turn it off as needed. So if you need some additional help, if you need somebody to make sure the lights are on for your customers over the holidays, reach out and we can help.
And if you need somebody to dress up as Santa, I've been growing out my beard, so I'm almost ready.
All right. Now, on the heels of last week, we talked about some of the negatives, some lack of communication and how that frustrated us. Let's flip it around a little bit and talk about the positives of good communication. Now, first, we can follow the format that we did last week. Let's go into a candidate that showed some strong communication and impressed us.
Yeah, I mean, candidates, we're gonna have to shout him out. I mean, hopefully he's listening, but it's Brian. You know, this is a young gentleman that we're working with on some of our marketing stuff, and his communication is impeccable. You know, he's frequent to respond, frequent and fast, I guess. I'm trying to come up with something catchy, but, you know, he's there when we're thinking he's not going to be there, and it's huge.
He's over-communicative. You know, we're a full-time business. You know, Brian is just putting in, you know, some hours each week, but he is readily available when we have ideas, when we have thoughts, when he has questions, he knows just to reach out anytime. And we always have those open lines of communication. It's me working with him a pleasure.
Talking about over communicative, I think that's a good segue into the vendor. So this is a situation where, you know, we've got a vendor of our software and some of our tools that we use that is,
you can name drop.
So it's Zoho. Zoho is the suite of tools that we use for our CRM and for some of our other stuff. And my account manager, or our account manager, Adarsh, is incredibly communicative. And it gets to the point where it's like, ah, man, another email from Adarsh. And then, another call from Adarsh. And, you know, it's all these communication, you know, points and channels and things like that. And then you really start thinking about it, and it's like, wait a minute. You know, one of the podcasts we did a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that, you know, most customers just silently, you know, leave. But if I ever had an issue with something with Zoho, Adarsh is so present and is so available that, you know, I would reach right out to him and get resolution. And so, you know, maybe it's like, ah, it's so much, but also it's really good, and I think it's a really positive experience for us.
When was the last time you called? I kind of miss him.
Adarsh, if you're listening, give us a call. Adarsh, if you're not listening, I'm sure I'll get a call from you in a couple weeks.
All right. So then the crux of this is that you need to be in communication with your customers. And there's a number of reasons why that is. And we just want to go through a couple of what we think are the key ones. The first one's to build trust. And this is something where I feel like I've been an Amazon user for, I don't know, 20 years at this point. I mean, they're obviously enormous. They're entrenched. Everybody uses Amazon at this point. Back in the day, that wasn't necessarily the case. I feel like there was a lot of e-tailers. There's a lot of places to shop online. And Amazon really rose to the top in my mind because they were so easy to work with. If I had an issue with the product, if something was delivered late, whatever it was, I could very easily get a hold of somebody, chat with somebody, get on the phone with somebody, and get resolution. If it was a product that didn't work, they would replace it immediately. If something was delayed, they would give me a $5 credit, whatever it was. The key thing was I knew I could get a hold of somebody. I knew that person I talked to would resolve my issue. And I knew that I could trust that if it ever happened again, the process would just repeat itself. And that made me increasingly willing to go back to them. And I think I'm not the only one who feels that way. That's what made Amazon what it is today.
Yeah, I agree with that. And what about when you accidentally order that thing that is really small, but you thought it was bigger because the picture looked really good? What happens then?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I had a couple of situations where I ordered something. I think it was like a chair or something like that. And I thought, oh, this is a great deal on this chair. And then it showed up and it was like a little tiny dollhouse chair.
You still use it though, on principle.
Yeah, no, of course. Of course. I wouldn't let it go to waste.
Then the next thing, and this is a little bit of a different approach. It's not necessarily the benefit of communicating per se, but it's the benefit of having ways to communicate. Mm-hmm. I know personally, I'm not really a phone guy. I'd rather just do the chat thing online. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for me, that means if it's a business where I have a problem and I can chat, and again, Amazon's a good example, I'm just a lot more comfortable working with them. If it's a business where I have a problem, I have to call them, I sit on hold, I get frustrated. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. That's a customer who's not coming back. And I know personally, you know, I've been in that situation before. If a business is giving me ways to get a hold of them, email, live chat, phone calls, whatever it is, that's somebody that I know that I'm able to work with. And I guess similarly, you're building the trust. You're making yourself accessible. Mm-hmm. You're making yourself someone that no matter who your customer is, no matter what type of person they are, because we are all humans, our customers, businesses, are all just comprised of human beings. Mm-hmm. People, you know, feel a certain way. They want to contact you a certain way. There are things that make things easier for them. When things are easier, they're more likely to do them.
Right, and you're not hiding behind anything. You're standing front and center saying, reach out to me however you possibly can, and we're here for you.
I don't want to turn this into a bad thing, but this always makes me think of United. We've gone into airlines a lot. I think maybe not the best for customer service. You can call them, sit on hold for 45 minutes, or you can try to talk to their chatbot. Mm-hmm. I think I'd rather sit on hold for 45 minutes. That chatbot is just maddening. All right, the last thing, and what I think is the most important reason to be in constant communication with your customers, is just to get feedback. How can you learn about the strengths and weaknesses of your products if not from the customers who are using those products?
Mm-hmm. Adarsh. I just have to say it. I mean, like, really, if there's ever something that's going to happen because he's so ready, because he's there, we're going to tell him about it. And then he's going to take that to whoever it is to rectify the issue. And maybe it's something like, oh, I forgot my, you know, password or something. Or I don't know. Maybe it's something bigger. And that bigger thing is something that they've been trying to improve for some time. And so feedback, being available, you don't get it without, you know, the communication.
I think Zoho is a great example because it's a really robust suite of tools. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it started as a small piece of software. Maybe it started as a CRM. I don't even know the exact history. They would get user requests. They would get this feedback. They have a team of Adarshas calling all their customers. Mm-hmm. And as the customers communicate what they need, they pass it up the chain. They build that product. And now, you know, we are users of Zoho One, which is a suite of 50 apps, probably 51, 52. As we talk, it's probably increasing.
There's
and they've done that just on the back of customer feedback, customers communicating what it is that they need and problems that they're having.
Let's get to the story this week. What have we got?
So this one's a little bit of a two-parter, I think. Also from Reddit, it's a story followed by a comment. I think you really need the story to set the stage for the story that's told in the comment. So as we've done before, let's do this, you know, script style, back and forth. Do you want to be the help desk agent or do you want to be the caller?
I'll be the caller this time.
All right. So I am user the Obole and I'm just getting settled in for my day. And this is the first call that comes into my tech support desk. Help desk, this is the Obole.
Hi, I locked my keys in my car.
And there's about 10 seconds of silence.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still here. Is there an issue with the computer you're having?
Oh, no. I locked my keys in the car and can't leave.
I'm not sure what I can do. Did you want me to give you the number for AAA?
You know, y'all used to come out with a Slim Jim and unlock our cars for us.
Quick aside, I think you've had like 3 accents in 4 lines.
I'll take it.
Sorry, I've been here for 5 years, and this is the first time I've heard of this happening.
Can you call maintenance? They used to do this all the time.
Is that 5?
I'm pretty sure they'd say the same thing. It's a liability issue. If something happens to your car door, the company's liable for the damages. Here's the number, though. You can call them and talk to them.
Hangs up phone in Australian.
30 minutes later, the agent actually called maintenance, and they told the caller the same thing. They couldn't help. Company would be liable. I guess it happened in the past. A door got messed up. The company was found liable in small claims court, and they decided it would never happen again. So that triggered a memory for user Style 99, a flashback, as they say, to a time when companies thought one call does it all was a good idea. Security, here's the phone number. Facilities, same phone number. Tech support, same phone number. But now, within a week, everyone realized that was not a good idea. Security, facilities, they got new numbers. Tech support, they still get the calls, which led to one particularly famous ticket at his company. Do you want to be the caller this time?
I don't know. Maybe we got to switch it up for this one.
All right, I'll be the caller. There's poop on the floor.
Of the server room?
No, the restroom.
Jeez.
I just hope that's the sort of call that we had helped never have to take. All right, that was episode 9. Again, we're off for Thanksgiving next week. Our lights are on, the phones are on, but we won't be podcasting. Enjoy the time with your friends and family.
Gobble, gobble.